Let's talk about the special releases. 9 out of 10 are out. What's unusual this year?
So what's unusual this year? The ones that certainly we've announced, I can't talk about that magical 10th one just yet, but the ones that are certainly unusual and stand out have to be the 48-year-old Carsbridge, the grain, now sadly closed, grain distillery that we're doing a bottling on. So 48-year-old from Carsbridge Distillery. So a distillery that was very well known at its time, a huge distillery at its time, but it's such a wonderful, unique single grain whiskey, this, and I'm hoping that when people get to try it, they will see it in the same light as I saw the Port Dundas we did last year, which was, even for its age, it still tasted and came across as something quite young and vibrant. So that's quite special. The other ones that really stand out for me, I'm like the other ones would be the Oban 21-year-old, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be really excited to get. It's quite unusual for Oban. Oban, as I'm sure you know, is a distillery that tends to mature the majority of its stock in American oak casks, normally American oak refill casks, just to help control that, because it's quite a light and delicate spirit, so it's just about trying to control it. But this bottling we're doing is actually all from European oak butts. Granted, they're refill European oak butts, so maybe second time use, third time use, but it gives it a real richness and quite an intense flavour. That the one thing I always say about Oban is that there's always something orangey in a glass of Oban, whether it be marmalade or fresh orange juice or whatever, but this comes across as really blood orange in elements. So hopefully people are quite excited by that one. And the one that certainly, I think for me, is quite a personal thing. I'm very proud of the Talisker 8-year-old that we're doing, because one, it's a younger bottling than we've done. It's the youngest age statement whiskey we've ever done in the special releases, but it's a harking back to one of the original bottling strengths, if not the original bottling age, of Talisker. When the Walkers took it over, one of the first things they did was they actually bottled it as an 8-year-old. And even to this day, we've got in our archive bottles of Talisker 8-year-old with the Striding Man on them. And so it's nice to kind of look back in history and see what we can get inspiration from. And that's all from an American oak first fill cask as well. So really rich, really creamy, really toffee. I could go on about all 9, but I'll stop there for now.
Well, we have to address the elephant in the room here.
Yes, I know.
No Port Ellen, no Brora. What happened this year?
So we took the decision. I'm like, people can rest assured there is nothing untoward going on. It is simply a case that Port Ellen and Brora have become so unbelievably rare and precious that actually what we've seen is the opportunity to take it out of the special releases and really give it its own platform. So we will be doing releases of Port Ellen and Brora throughout the year. We will be doing other bottlings of it. We just won't be doing them under the banner of the special releases, because they're almost taking a step away in terms of price and in terms of rarity, in terms of what they are. So they're no longer really in line with what special releases are and always were to be, about a range of different affordable to expensive single malts. The Port Ellen and Brodus have gone beyond that now. So we've taken the decision to take them out, give them their own place, but it allows us to focus on the special releases being really and truly about what it always was meant to stand for. So that really range of prices, range of styles, range of different offerings.
Once I noted that on Twitter earlier today, there was some folks who thought, well, maybe it might be because both of those distilleries are being restored and something else would be a chance to bring something else into the range too.
Well, it was certainly, like, that was a big deciding factor in it. I mean, we with the rebuilding of the distillery, it made us really stop and think about the bottlings. And obviously, in their current guise and the stock that we have left, it's slowly and surely becoming less and less as the years go on. So we're just taking the opportunity to kind of, with the new distillery being built, with us bringing them back to life, just to kind of look after them, nurture them, and give them their own platform, really. So, yeah, it's a very good point. We are using that, the rebuilding of the distilleries as motivation to do this, but there's nothing untoward behind it.
And you're not out of it completely, because there's people going, when are they going to run out of Port Ellen? When are they going to run out of Port Ellen?
See, the question should never be about when are we going to run out. It's like, when are we going to stop having enough that's good enough to bottle? Because obviously casks are incredibly volatile things, but there's still a good supply of Port Ellen and Brora for that matter. So there's nothing, it's not like we've run out, it's not like there's none left. It's simply a case of we're taking it out of the special releases to focus the special releases on other things, but give Port Ellen and Brora their own platform, their own pedestal to stand upon.
Can you give us any hints about that 10th whiskey?
I can. I can tell you it's going to be incredibly tasty.
Yeah.
And? Unfortunately, I am under strict instructions by the powers that be within Diageo, well above my pay grade, to keep that one a closely guarded secret. But what I will say is that it is something that will truly excite the whiskey and whiskey fans out there, the lovers of Scotch. It's something they'll be really, really excited by. That's all I'm going to say just now, because if you keep me going, I'm too excitable, I'll end up telling you all about it.
Well, last year you guys did something unusual with the bottling from all 28 malt distilleries, with the vatting of that one, the collective them. Could it be something along those lines this year?
It could well be. You never know. But every year we're going to look to do something both different, but not in a kind of strange, quirky way. Something that is going to be really, I mean, even this year, for instance, if I use the Singleton of Glenord, which is the Singleton variant that I'm sure most of your listeners aren't as familiar with, except those that are listening across in Asia. This year we're using it. We've done our blenders. Keith Law and Maureen Robinson have done some incredible work with a 5-cask maturation process where they've taken the normal ex-European oak, ex-American oak casks, they've blended them together, then they've split that liquid and used a Pedro Ximenez cask, and they've used a Moscatel cask to do a secondary maturation thing, and then they've blended that back together again in the Marion cask. So that's an example of how the special releases can allow our blenders to really showcase a huge diversity of what they can do. And I think the 10th bottling is always going to be something, the one that we don't talk about initially, is always going to be something that is going to either tell a story or be of a different kind of style of blending technique. So, like I say, without giving away too much, it is something that I hope everybody will be, like me, quite excited about.
It's a cask strength Loch Dew, right?
It's cask strength. It's not Loch Dew.
I couldn't resist.